Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today we will continue in our selected parables from the Gospel according to St. Luke. And the parable which we wish to consider today is found in the 18th chapter of that Gospel. Beginning at verse 9, we read about the Pharisee and the publican. It's a parable, and the Lord had a very good reason for giving this parable on this occasion. And if you have your Bibles near at hand, we invite you to read with us. Luke chapter 18 and verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Our Lord Jesus Christ speaks this parable, as we have read already, to certain who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Now, I don't think that the Lord takes any delight in putting people down, but he wanted these people to forsake their own righteousness and shift their trust to God. Trusting in oneself is like casting the anchor into the hold of the ship. You keep right on drifting. The anchor has got to go outside of itself if it's going to be kept from drifting. And thus it is with you and me. We've got to get outside of ourselves. We've got to trust in the Lord, get out completely outside of ourselves if we're to stop our drifting. Now, Christ is our anchor. There's a lovely portion in the 6th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and I think I'd like to read it at this time. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for hope, for refuge rather, to lay upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now it is the two immutable things that we have to secure us in our salvation is the word of God and the oath of God. Now we have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. And the Lord Jesus Christ in Timothy 1:1, 1 Timothy, the first chapter, the first verse, is referred to as our hope. Our anchor goes upward. Now, when they cast the anchor into the deep, it goes downward and it clasps the rock beneath the surface and keeps the ship from drifting. Our anchor, if you please, our anchor rope goes up to heaven. Christ is our anchor and he keeps us from drifting. Now, let's notice the principles of this parable. One was a Pharisee and the other was a publican. The Pharisee was a strict religionist, highly respected. The Apostle Paul, in the 3rd chapter of Philippians, boasts of the fact that once he was a Pharisee, of the strictest sort, and they did command respect, and they earned it. They were the orthodox of their day. The Pharisee was really something to take note of. They had a lot of influence. They were highly religious, and they were very strict. Now, the publican was a tax gatherer. He was a Jew, but the Roman government hired him to collect taxes from the Jewish people. They wouldn't trust their own men to do it. They had the Jews do it because the Jews knew how much their neighbors had, and they could affix the tax as it was indeed legitimate. However, the publicans were noted for telling their Jewish brethren that their taxes was more than they really were, and keeping the difference. They kept two set of books. Now they were despised. These publicans were highly despised and disrespected. Now we've seen the two principles of the parable. Let's see the prayers of these two men. We've already read them, but I think we should read them again. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. And I don't think his prayer ever got higher than the ceiling, if you'll pardon my assessment of it. He prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. This man has been referred to, facetiously, as an eye specialist. He was completely enamored with himself. He had cast the anchor into the hold of the ship. It was his righteousness that he was counting on. And that's why the Lord chose this Pharisee to speak to these people. And we'll get back to the subjects that the people that the Lord was speaking to a little bit later in the broadcast. Now, this man was completely enamored with himself, as we've already said. I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Have you ever noticed that self-righteous people always compare themselves with somebody that is worse than they are? That's a human tendency. We compare ourselves with people that are worse than we are and take consolation in that fact. Well, now, we shouldn't be comparing ourselves among themselves. Paul speaks of the Corinthians as comparing themselves among themselves, and then he says they're not wise. That's not our standard. Our standard is God's standard. How do we rate with him? Now, these people, really, this Pharisee was really casting the anchor in the hold of the ship. He selected the publican, and he says, I'm better than he is. Well, he'd better be better. But that's not good enough. Now, the publican, his prayer was very, very simple. He stood thus and prayed with himself. He didn't even lift his eyes up to heaven. He just smote upon his breast, and he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. This man really knew what he had done. He was a publican, remember, and he no doubt had followed the example of the other publicans and kept back part of the taxes for himself. But his conscience smote him, and he comes into the temple and he prays this simple prayer. He smites upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, he hits himself in the right place. He smites upon his breast. There's the seat of all of our trouble, an evil heart. Jeremiah tells us in the 17th chapter of his prophecy, the heart is evil and desperately wicked. No man can know it. It is evil, and it's the source of evil. Even the Lord in his ministry said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And you can tell what the heart is like by just listening to the mouth. This dear man said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, the Lord makes a pronouncement in regard to these two men, and we should listen to it. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. they will be abased because they gave not God the glory. You know, there's a peculiar glory to God that results in our salvation. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God saves us that he might receive the glory for himself. He bought it with the blood of his own dear Son. And when we arrogate that righteousness, that glory to ourselves, we rob God of his glory. I can't think of any other way to say it. We simply rob God of his glory. There is a glory in saving a sinner. God is a God of mercy, and he delights in mercy. Now, let's go back and consider the people to whom the Lord was addressing this parable. He spake this parable unto certain who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Now, they were righteous, but they were self-righteous. It was not the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God is imputed to those who will believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Romans chapter 3, verse 21, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." Now God imputes the righteousness of Christ to you and to me the moment that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We read that in the fourth chapter of Romans. We read in verse 2, "If God, Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, he trusted him, and it was counted, reckoned, imputed unto him for righteousness." Now down farther in the chapter we read, "Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification." There are two implications in regard to our salvation. Our sins were imputed to Christ when he died on the cross for those sins. They were reckoned to him. They were set to his account. His righteousness is set to our account, reckoned to us the moment that we believe in the Lord Jesus. And that is the righteousness that fits us for heaven. These people were in dangerous ground, and the Lord wanted to correct them. He wasn't putting them down. This parable was told in earnestness and sincerity and in love for them to forsake their righteousness and trust in the Lord, and then have the righteousness of the Lord imputed to them. Our Father today, help us to see that Christ is a Savior and not ourselves. In Christ's name, amen.